In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I often wonder at times why it is difficult for not only modern man, but in truth throughout the whole history of salvation, for men to take to heart the words of the Lord himself. The Lord has never dissembled. The Lord has never been untrue. The Lord has never been confusing. The Lord is clear and direct as to what is required of us, the graces he bestows upon us, the impact of grace, and also the rejection of grace. Many are called, but few are chosen. Because, brothers and sisters, not only is it necessary, in a sense, to be called by God to the wedding banquet, but then at the same time to prepare oneself for the blessings that one receives in being called. There is an assumption that has crept into modernity that the coming of God his second time will not happen until each individual one of us, if you will, gets our act together. Simply put, since I'm not ready for heaven, God is actually not going to come. That's a comforting thought, because it, at least for us personally, convinces us that we have many, many years, if you will, to put everything into order, and God will wait on us. But God is not waiting on us. And we do ourselves a serious disservice if we do not use every moment of every day to use well the graces that God has given to us to prepare ourselves in this life so that we can take our place in the kingdom to come. And to also be clear, there is a kingdom to come. There is a heaven toward which we are oriented. We are called to that. We have been created for that. And just as heaven is a real place that God desires that we all be, so likewise is hell a real place. That absence of God, because we fail to live as God intends us to live. This is not a nice, warm, fuzzy understanding of the faith. And I wish I could offer that to you. But as we've already been instructed in St. Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians, we should not lie. We need to tell and speak truth. And so the truth is this. We need to always be vigilant, preparing ourselves, taking advantage of the manifold graces that God bestows upon us so that we can conform ourselves to his will, then execute and do his will. And we do this by putting into practice the things that St. Paul says. And St. Paul, as he often does, reminds us simply that this is the necessity of living a life of virtue. Do the things that God commands. You know of what they contain. Put aside anger, speak the truth, strive for holiness and justice, labor well, work for the needs of others. It really is all those things we learned when we were in kindergarten are the things that still matter for how we live our lives as adults. We complicate it because, in truth, we're always trying to read the fine print in order that it will redound to us and make our lives easier. I wish this were easier, but I can guarantee you this. When we strive to make the content of our Christian lives an easy thing to accomplish, we oftentimes make whatever situation we were in much worse than it was before. Precisely because we are then now compounding sin upon sin. First, by rejecting what God bestows upon us, and then by striving to manipulate God in order to somehow come up with something that fits me. But let me break it down to you yet again in its simplest parts. It's not about you. As much as God desires your salvation, we exist to praise and worship and give glory to God first, last, and always. And then in that obedience, that which God desires to bestow upon us, we make ourselves available of those graces that he gives to us. But the movement is us to God. The fact that God chose to come and make his dwelling among us was only to make it clearer, simpler, and easier for us to go to him. That has always been what God has desired. The obedience of Adam and Eve in order that they might have that which God had already given them, everything. And they squandered it because of a lie. But how easily do we do the same? We would like to think that we would not be like Adam and Eve. We would have listened and been obedient to God and enjoyed the fruits of the Garden of Eden. But then all we need to do is step back just for a moment from the lives that we lead and realize how easily we squander the graces that God has given us. And oftentimes over very little things, easily giving into impatience and frustration and resentment. The line in the grocery store was too long, and now I'm inconvenienced. Traffic has impeded my progress, and so now I'm angry. My kids aren't obedient to me in the way that I'd like, and so now I'm upset. And simple things where you can control your peace, you can keep your focus, and how easily we are knocked off guard because it's inconvenient, it's uncomfortable, it's not pleasant. I didn't get what I want. It's childish. It's selfish. It's self-absorbed. It's narcissistic. These are hard things to hear. I even see some scowls on people's faces. Who does he think he is to preach to us and talk to us this way? So to be clear, I'm not only saying this to you. I say this about myself. And how do I know this? Because I go to confession on a regular basis. And in the process of examining my conscience, I discover all the ways that I've squandered God's grace. All the ways I've chosen me instead of God. All the ways that I have been willful, seeking my own directedness instead of turning to the Lord and asking him to lead and guide me. But we do ourselves a grand disservice if we walk around blithely believing that we can do what we want, when we want, how we want, with no penalty, no transformation happening, and expect to somehow walk easily into heaven. Heaven has been gained. There is no doubt about that. It was gained when our Lord suffered and died on the cross. The gates have indeed been open, and God desires that you walk through them. But just as St. Augustine reminds us, God did not create us with our consent. He likewise will not save us without that same consent. God desires that you cooperate, that you participate, that you are involved in the salvific work that he has already accomplished. Why does he want us involved when he knows how difficult for us it is to be involved? I do not know the answer to that question. Would that I could be a dumb animal who already then is oriented toward the things that God asks of me and not have the reason to choose God or also the silliness to reject him. And so many indeed are called. Maybe you are part of that many. Maybe we all hope we are part of that many. Our presence here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, coming forward to receive the Living God, certainly would give the indication that we are part of those who have been called. But even still, few are chosen. There is more work to be done. What happens here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is to sustain us throughout the week so that we can go forth and do what God commands us to do. We are nourished in body and, more importantly, in spirit to be obedient to God, to open ourselves up to the sacramental and actual graces that God gives us throughout the week, then to return to give him fitting glory and praise yet again, to be nourished and sustained yet again, and to go forth yet again and do what God commands us to do. If I seem a little bit more animated than I normally am, it's precisely because I've had experiences throughout this week that have yet again reminded me of the work that rests before us. And if we, brothers and sisters, cannot do it, then the world in which we live simply will not be transformed. Not because God does not desire that, but we've already established God wants our cooperation. Therefore, we are extensions of the salvific work of God. We are the manifestation of the power of God to be transformative so that men and women will see us and say, what is it that they have? And how do they live with such joy? And we will say, like Peter said, I have nothing of my own to give you. Rather, I give you that which was given to me. I pass on the truth and the peace and the joy and the love of God that comes from being obedient to God. This is how the world will be transformed. And so each of us, wherever we are, whatever it is we are called to do, whatever state in life we have, each of us has the responsibility to turn toward God in our own lives, and in that orientation, turning toward God to make ourselves instruments of his grace. So that as we are called, and hopefully by that grace are chosen. We can invite others into this intimate relationship as well. We know what it is we ought to do. We know how we need to go about doing it. By the graces of this holy sacrifice, commit yourself, maybe just for today, but maybe extend it to the week, to do what God commands you to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.